and enjoy ourselves. Subtle changes in the beggar's posture made the stranger feel more at ease. He consulted the small book again.
I wish to be directed to an hotel, tavern, lodging house, inn, hospice, caravanserai, he said.
What, all of them? Said Hugh, taken aback.
Hmm?
Said the stranger. Hugh was aware that a small crowd of fishwives, shellfish diggers, and freelance gawpers were watching them with interest.
Look, he said, I know a good tavern. Is that enough?
He shuddered to think of the gold coin escaping from his life. He'd keep that one, even if Humor confiscated all the rest. And the big chest that comprised most of the newcomer's luggage looked to be full of gold, Hugh decided. The four-eyed man looked at his book.
I would like to be directed to an hotel, place of repose, tavern.
Yes, all right, come on then, said Hugh hurriedly.
He picked up one of the bundles and walked away quickly. The stranger, after a moment's hesitation, strolled after him. A train of thought shunted its way through Hugh's mind. Getting the newcomer to the broken drum so easily was a stroke of luck, no doubt of it, and Humor would probably reward him. But for all his new acquaintance's mildness, there was something about him that made Hugh uneasy, and for the life of him he couldn't figure out what it was. Not the two extra eyes, odd though they were. There was something else. He glanced back. The little man was ambling along in the middle of the street, looking around him with an expression of keen interest. Something else Hugh saw nearly made him gibber. The massive wooden chest, which he had last seen resting solidly on the quayside, was following on its master's heels with a gentle rocking gait. Slowly, in case a sudden movement on his part might break his fragile control over his own legs, Hugh bent slightly so that he could see under the chest. There were lots and lots of little legs. Very deliberately, Hugh turned around and walked very carefully towards the broken drum.
Odd,
said Emor.
He had this big wooden chest,
added Cripplewar.
He'd have to be a merchant or a spy, said Emor.
He pulled a scrap of meat from the cutlet in his hand and tossed it into the air. It hadn't reached the zenith of its arc before a black shape detached itself from the shadows in the corner of the room and swooped down, taking the morsel in mid-air.
A merchant or a spy,
repeated Emor.
I'd prefer a spy. A spy pays for himself twice, because there's always the reward when we turn him in. What do you think, Withel?
Opposite Emor, the second greatest thief in Ankh-Morpork, half closed his one eye and shrugged.
I've checked on the ship, he said. It's a freelance trader. Does the occasional run to the Brown Islands? People there are just savages. They don't understand about spies, and I expect they eat merchants.
He looked a bit like a merchant,
volunteered Wah.
Except he wasn't fat.
There was a flutter of wings at the window. Emor shifted his bulk out of the chair and crossed the room, coming back with a large raven. After he'd unfastened the message capsule from its leg, it flew up to join its fellows lurking among the rafters. Withel regarded it without love. Emor's ravens were notoriously loyal to their master, to the extent that Withel's one attempt to promote himself to the rank of greatest thief in Ankh-Morpork had cost their master's right-hand man his left eye. But not his life, however. Emor never grudged a man his ambitions.
B-12,
said Emor, tossing the little file aside and unrolling a tiny scroll within.
Gorin the Cat, said Withel automatically, on station up in the Gong Tower at the Temple of Small Gods.
He says Hugh has taken our stranger to the Broken Drum. Well, that's good enough. Broadman is a friend of ours, isn't he?
Aye, said Withel. If he knows what's good for trade.
Among his customers